Nachshon in the Midrash is depicted as one man whose small step was a great leap forward for the people of Israel. Nachshon whose entry split the sea. Nachshon whose name and reputation millennia later inspired an operation to save the Jews of a sacred city. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 190, Operation Nachshon. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. The book O Jerusalem by Larry Collins and Dominique LaPierre describes the battle for the city before and after Israel's Declaration of Independence in May of 1948. The central chapter in the book, the one which gave it its name, describes how, in the months preceding May, with fighting already underway, with the British still technically in control of the Holy Land, Jews living in Jerusalem were in peril. The road from Tel Aviv to the sacred city included a route known as Bab El Wad, a perilous road through a gorge between cliffs. Abdul Khader, appointed by the Mufti, Haj Amin al-Husseini, to lead the Arab forces in the battle for Jerusalem, declared, "We will strangle Jerusalem." Thus, when food supplies would be brought by Jews in armored cars through Bab El Wad, Arabs would fire upon them from above, killing many and leaving burnt bulks of metal that once were part of the armored convoy. This is remembered most famously in Chaim Guri's poem, later a song, Bab El Wad, which describes the bodies of his friends lying next to the burnt out, skeletal, exploded vehicles. The most famous stanza in the poem is sung as follows. Bab El Wad, lanetach, schorna et shmoteinu, shayarot, partu baderech el ha'ir, bitzidei. Haderech mutalim meiteinu, sheler ha-barzel shotek emorei. Bab El Wad, forever remember our names. Bab El Wad, on the road into the city. On the side of the road lie our dead. These shard-out skeletons of iron are as silent as my comrades. By the time we get to April of 1948, the besieged Jews of Jerusalem, lacking food for 2 weeks, were in danger of starving. To save Jerusalem's Jews, the Haganah in Tel Aviv organized an operation named for a biblical figure, one that is little described in Scripture, but who is magisteriously depicted in the Midrash. As Collins and LaPierre describe, Ben-Gurion gathered his commanders and said to them, "We have three vital centers, Tel Aviv, Haifa, and Jerusalem. We can still survive if we lost one of them, provided the one we lose is not Jerusalem. Its capture, its destruction, would deal a severe and possibly fatal blow to the Yishuv, and break its will and its ability to withstand Arab aggression." Having said this to his commanders, Ben-Gurion argued that they needed to make Bab El Wad safe enough for one convoy to get through to Jewish Jerusalemites. It was calculated that if they could get 3,000 tons of food to Jerusalem, then the Jews of Jerusalem could hold out. The plan was for the Haganah to form, in an offensive move, defenses on both sides of the gorge so that the convoys could pass. It would be, in a certain sense, akin to the splitting of the sea, as Exodus describes, "V'amayim lohem choma miminam u'mismolam." The water was a wall on the right and the left, and here, the Haganah would serve as a wall for the convoy. And this is what brings us to what is, for me, one of the most interesting parts of the story. The Book of Jerusalem reports that shortly before dawn, after the late-night meeting at Ben-Gurion's house, one of the men proposed a name for the hazardous operation that they were about to undertake. The name was Nachshon, who is described in the Book of Numbers as the Nasi, the prince of the tribe of Judah, Nachshon ben Aminadav. There, in the Torah reading known as Naso, we are informed that he was Rishon, given the first honor in the inauguration of the altar. He was given this honor, we are informed by the Midrash, because he was first in another circumstance. Right before the splitting of the sea, the rabbis write, with Egypt bearing down on Israel, Moses instructed the people to enter the sea. And essentially every one of the Israelites looked at the other and said, "You first." But one, Nachshon of the tribe of Judah, strode courageously into the water. And only when he had waded into the sea up to his nose did the sea actually split. For this man, Operation Nachshon was named. The story embodies a message. The meaning, perhaps, is that Jews are indeed a living miracle at the center of God's providential plan. But God requires and expects of his covenant people to take action to have the courage to forge ahead in the expectation of miracles to come. Nachshon in the Midrash is depicted as one man whose small step was a great leap forward for the people of Israel. Nachshon, whose entry split the sea. Nachshon, whose name and reputation millennia later inspired an operation to save the Jews of a sacred city. And fittingly, Nachshon, whose name lives on, for as you will find online, the operation named for Nachshon is remembered today in a brigade that fights terrorism in Israel, the Nachshon Brigade, whose motto, parallel to the Midrash, is Be First. The story of Nachshon, then, and of the operation named after him, reminds us that the Jewish journey to Jerusalem throughout the ages embodies the Jewish ability to forge past daunting dangers, to face terrifying times, and to have the courage to take the next step forward. There is no better embodiment of this than Operation Nachshon, where Jews, soldiers, and truck drivers drove through the perilous Babel Wad, what had been for the Jews the Valley of the Shadow of Death, all in order to relieve their fellow Jews in Jerusalem. The book's description of this moment is worthy of quotation. Collins and LaPierre write, quote, "Shaking the night with the steady drone of their engines, the trucks ground slowly up the pass toward Jerusalem. Some lurched along with two or three tires flattened by sniper fire. All along the column, men shouted, 'Kadima, Kadima, forward, forward,'" end quote. The book tells us of the man that rode at the front of the convoy, a British Jew by the name of Harry Jaffe. He was, in other words, the Nachshon of Operation Nachshon, sitting in a 1947 vehicle, a Ford. The book tells us, quote, "In Jerusalem, the news that a convoy was coming rippled through the city. Hundreds of people ran down Jaffa Road to watch it come in. Women in bathrobes, school children, religious Jews coming from morning service in the synagogues. They hung out of windows, clambered onto rooftops to watch in awe and gratitude. They sang and cheered and clapped as the convoy drove into sight. They were a desperate, hungry people existing that week on a ration of 2 ounces of margarine, a quarter of a pound of potatoes, and a quarter of a pound of dried meat. For 2 weeks, not a single vehicle had reached the city, and now they were rumbling forward in a steady stream as far back as the eye could see. Dozens of trucks, bumper to bumper, crammed with supplies. Mature men, watching from the curb, wept openly. Children scrambled onto the trucks with flowers." End quote. O Jerusalem tells us that truck drivers from Tel Aviv were essentially forced to help form this convoy into Jerusalem, though it was perilous, and even if they emerged whole, would not make it back to Tel Aviv right away, and would be forced to stay and besiege Jerusalem. Nevertheless, Collins and LaPierre continue, quote, "Even the sullen truck drivers were transformed. Rolling down the corridor of ecstatic human beings, they understood they had saved a city," end quote. And in the passage that provided the name for the book, Collins and LaPierre tell us that Jaffe, on his bumper, had painted in English, "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem." Ladies and gentlemen, is there another people on the planet that can draw a line across thousands of years from Nachshon to Operation Nachshon, from the crossing of the sea to the crossing of Bab el Wad, from the original journey to the Holy Land to the journey to Jerusalem in 1948, to an obscure individual in the Bible who took one small step on the shores of the sea 3,000 years ago, to a Ford in 1948 driving into a city that is the locus of Jewish hopes and dreams? Today, a high-speed rail exists, tunneling through the Jerusalem mountains, bringing Jews from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in a little over half an hour. But it is not too much to say that every Jew taking that commute will owe that painless, peaceful, miraculous journey through the sacred soil of the Holy Land to Operation Nachshon and to the connection to the Midrash about a step taken by Nachshon millennia ago. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.